Today's reading begins in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not has been from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or, "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, "Look, he is in the wilderness," do not go out. If they say, "Look, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Today's reading was short, but let's set the stage and look over again the things that we just read. In our previous reading, going back all the way into chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus made this statement, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Lord has made a call to Jerusalem on many occasions, but they would not listen. They would not allow him to tenderly watch over him. Instead, they killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent. So there is a history of unfaithfulness and rebelliousness toward the Lord. We need to keep that in mind as we move forward. Chapter 24, he tells them concerning the temple that there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. The temple was extremely important to Judaism, and to have this statement made would be shocking, to say the least. Yet nonetheless, Jesus is giving them this prophecy that they might know. He went on from there to tell them, don't be led astray. Many will come in his name and claim to be the Christ, and they will lead many astray. Then there's also this, there will be wars and rumors of wars, and this must take place, but not the end yet. And I spoke to you when we did this reading about the fact that there was the Jewish rebellion that came up in AD 66 and went all the way through AD 72, which led to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70. As a matter of perspective and encouragement, he made the statement, those who endure to the end will be saved, and the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations. So that brings us to where we started in our reading today. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. So what is the abomination of desolation? A lot of people want to know the answer to that question. The word there means to be filthy, to loathe, to abhor. especially with a meaning towards idolatrous. And that's really where we're going to focus, because when the Romans came against the Jewish nation in AD 70 in order to destroy the city, they were an idolatrous people. And they were wanting to destroy Judaism and embrace Greek polytheism. Now, I'm not saying that Greek polytheism is the only reason they came against the Jewish nation. They came against them because they rebelled. But when Daniel began to describe an abomination of desolation, he was specifying one so surpassingly disgusting to a sense of morality and decency, so aggressive against anything godly, as to drive from its presence and leave their dwelling place desolate. He chose this very strong wording. You could go back and look at Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. In order to understand the situation of the day with the Greek culture and the Hellenistic influence upon the Jews and the Roman government, we kind of need to think about the past, going back a couple of hundred years. You go all the way back to the Syrian kingdom, back to Antiochus the Fourth, which was about 175 BC. He was the beginning of this idea, at least as far as I can tell, of a ruler being considered to be some sort of a deity. Some say Antiochus was actually just insane, but it's hard to say this far removed from that moment in history. But he produced coins, and on those coins he had written an inscription, the God who appears, or the God who reveals himself. We're not sure the exact translation. But the point is that he began to put forth this idea that as ruler he was deity. And the reason that I mention this is because that continues on to the point that it influenced the Romans as well. Caesars began to declare themselves deity by the end of the first century, and this was creating quite the stir for those that followed Judaism and Christianity. Some say that's part of the reason why the Jewish people began to revolt in AD 66. But getting back to our reading, he says this is going to be a terrible moment, and when you see this happening, you need to flee. You need to flee Jerusalem. Now, we know that there was a church at Jerusalem. We see that established in Acts chapter 2. We know that there were apostles at Jerusalem. We know that Paul visited Jerusalem. So there were Christians living in Jerusalem. And so Jesus is giving a warning so those Christians will know, when you see these things happening, you need to leave. Because you combine this with the comment about the temple being destroyed, not one stone left upon another, you understand Jerusalem was not going to exist. It was going to be gone. It was going to be wiped out. And he says, along with this, there are going to be those that claim to be the Christ. But that can't be, since Jesus is the Christ, and don't be led astray by it. And so this was going to be a period of tribulation. It was going to be a terrible time. It was going to be a terrifying time. But he ends all of this with the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So when you see all these things, you will know that he is near at the very gates. And he says, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So these things that he's describing happening were going to come within one generation, and that's exactly what did happen. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.